first green, purple, white, skinny, medium, thick, asparagus comes in a lot of different ways. And there are also many, many delicious ways to prepare those long veggie spears in the midst of asparagus season here in Wisconsin. David Tanis joins us now for Food Friday with lots of asparagus advice. David has worked as a professional chef for decades, including years at Chez Panisse in California and Cafe Escalera in New Mexico. He's written a lot of acclaimed cookbooks, too. His most recent is David Tanis Market Cooking. David's a regular food columnist at the New York Times. His multimedia guide, How to Cook Asparagus, appears on the Times Cooking website. David, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Well, tell us some about the varieties of asparagus. We see the green stuff for the most part. I have encountered purple in my life. I don't think I've ever laid eyes on white asparagus, though. Tell us the different colors and how we get them.
Well, you know, white asparagus is more common in Europe than it is here. Although imported asparagus from Peru they've been sending some small white asparagus. But white asparagus is kind of a different animal. It usually has a tough skin that needs to be peeled, you have to cook it for quite a bit longer until it's soft all the way through. But it's really delicious. But I think green asparagus or purple tinged is what most people in the States are going to find.
And you, in your piece on asparagus, corrected a misunderstanding I had. I thought skinny asparagus was picked younger, and if you left it in the ground, it would turn into thick asparagus. I was wrong.
Yeah. You know, it takes a while for an asparagus bed to mature. And when this bed is first starting, you get skinny ones. And the more mature beds throw larger spears up.
Interesting.
But it doesn't really matter whether they're thick or thin. The thing that's most important with asparagus is that it's fresh. And there's a huge difference between freshly picked asparagus and some stuff that's been hanging around.
Now, when we're shopping, you know, farmer's market's probably going to be pretty fresh. When we're at the grocery store, though, how do we judge what is going to be good asparagus?
Well, I mean, you need to look at it. You got to look. It should be smooth, shiny, and firm. There should be no little wrinkles or withering. You want the tips at the, to be tight. You don't want them open at the top. And you check the bottoms and see whether they look freshly cut or not. And if they're very brown, they probably weren't freshly cut. So your best choice is always going to be whatever's local.
And when it comes to cooking asparagus, we're going to talk about a lot of great ways to prepare it. You've got a surprising variety, actually, but it seems like a really easy way to make bad asparagus, and I've done this on my own in my life, is overcooking it. If people have bad memories of asparagus, it seems like 98% sure it was probably because it was overcooked. Do you think that's about right?
I think that's true. It's always a little bit sad when it gets overcooked. You want it to stay green, and once it sort of veers into that olive drab territory, then you're sort of in trouble. It's not the end of the world, but it's not as good as it should be.
We're talking.
If you've ever had canned asparagus, you know what I mean.
Definitely. We're talking to David Tanis on this edition of Food Friday. He's giving his cooking advice on asparagus. You can join in if you have a favorite or a question at 800-642-1234. Well, let's start at the opposite end of the spectrum, David, from that overcooked raw in salads and things like that. What kind of asparagus do we want and how do we prepare it?
If you want to make a raw asparagus salad, there are two ways to go about it. One is to use thick asparagus that you peel slightly at the bottom to get rid of any tough skin, and then slice very thinly with a knife or with a mandolin. Another way to go would be to go with skinny pieces and just cut them into short lengths and dress them. But it makes a nice salad, thin ribbons of asparagus, just lightly dressed with something tasty. Or the chopped, it can be good too.
And one of the recipes you have up at the New York Times that we'll focus in on now is a shaved asparagus salad with ginger and sesame. Tell us a little bit about that one.
Okay, well, it's basically the same thing we were just talking about.
Yeah.
So we call it shaved asparagus. That sounds fancy. It means cut very thin into ribbons. Some people do it with a vegetable peeler. I just usually use a knife. And then the idea is just to dress it lightly with something tasty. So that could be salt, pepper, lemon juice, and olive oil. Or in this case, it's with a dressing that's made with sesame oil and grated ginger, which is really tasty and bright. And that tastes good against the sort of grassiness of the asparagus.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. John is with us in Sturgeon Bay. John, hello.
Hi, good afternoon. So a question. We pick wild asparagus around our home in Door County. You know, we find them in the ditches and fields on certain places. Recently, I was in the National Forest up by our cabin in northern Wisconsin, kind of in the middle of nowhere. I was on a river trip, and I found an asparagus plant, had some coming up, kind of in really in the middle of nowhere. And my question is that, do you think that was from an old, maybe an old farmstead or cabin at some point, or could that just crop up and grow anywhere? And it was just kind of, you know, by chance it happened to grow there.
Interesting. I don't know if you're a wild asparagus connoisseur, David. I'm trying to look up some information about that right now. But is there a thing for, I don't know, in the cooking world for wild harvested asparagus?
Oh, yes. And if you get, you're a very lucky man. if you're finding wild asparagus, you can find it usually growing along, you know, riverbanks or irrigation ditches, that sort of thing, or, you know, someplace moist. Often you can find it, you'll see it against a fence in a pasture sometimes where there's an irrigating ditch or canal nearby. A lot of it is because it has been planted or the seeds scattered from a farmstead. But there is actually wild asparagus that just grows by itself, and it can be very, very tasty. In Spain, they're very big on wild asparagus. The wild asparagus in Spain, though, tends to be kind of long and a little bit more bitter than cultivated asparagus. It's really delicious.
Thanks for the call and happy hunting for that wild asparagus. So let's go to Derek now in La Crosse. Derek, hi.
Hey.
What'd you want to tell us about Derek?
I just want to say when I was little, my mom used to go into the ditch and pick wild asparagus, but I remember that all the time. But anyway, I was talking about how to cook grilled asparagus, and you lightly drizzle olive oil with a little bit of salt, and you just grill it until it gets some good grill marks on it, and it's very good that way.
Derek, thanks a lot for the call. And David, I think in your piece on this, you mentioned that thicker asparagus is ideal for grilling. Can you talk about grilling our asparagus a little bit?
Yeah, the bigger ones are ideal, but as long as it doesn't fall through the grates,
right.
you can grill any size asparagus. And it is it's a nice way to cook asparagus. But if you happen to have asparagus growing in, on the riverbank there, just take it home. Throw it into boiling water for 2 minutes and eat it with butter. That's the best.
For that fresh, wild stuff. And that reminds me, you mentioned the boiling water. You talk in some of your recipes about blanching asparagus for some of the salads. So it's not quite raw, but it's not too far past raw. How do we blanch our asparagus?
Well, blanching just means cooking in boiling water for just a couple of minutes. You want to keep it firm, and then you're ready to use it. You can either just go from the boiling water to the platter and add the sauce or whatever you're going to use, the hollandaise, the melted butter, the vinaigrette, or if you're not going to use it right away, you can bathe it in ice water just for a brief minute to stop the cooking. And that'll keep the color green as well.
It's Food Friday. We're talking with chef and cookbook author David Tanis. We are cooking with asparagus today, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. What are your favorite ways to cook with and or eat asparagus? Have you ever tried one of David's asparagus recipes? By the way, you can find a bunch of recipes at the New York Times website. We've got a link at WPR.org/Central Time. Do you have a question about how to cook asparagus or maybe what's gone wrong for you in the past? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we continue our Food Friday talk about asparagus with New York Times food columnist and acclaimed chef David Tanis. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What is your favorite way to make asparagus? Do you get excited this time of year when the fresh stuff, the local stuff, is around and abundant? What do you like to do with it? 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll go back to your calls now. Ann is with us in Jefferson. Ann, hi.
Oh, hello there. I just wanted to tell you that my favorite way of cooking asparagus is ultra, ultra simple. You just heat up olive oil in a frying pan, black skillet, you know, iron pan or whatever, and maybe throw in a little butter, and then just chop the asparagus up in little pieces, you know, inch or so, and just throw them in that hot oil and saute them. Keep turning them constantly with a spatula, and then before you serve it, dump lemon pepper on it. Sprinkle lemon pepper and maybe a little cheese if you want to. It is so good. They get a little crispy on the outside.
Yep.
It is really good. And this is, we get all this from an old fence line of, it was like 3 acres of asparagus. My husband's late mother planted back in the 50s. And she sold enough asparagus off of that to put her kids through college.
And thank you so much for sharing that story. That's great. And that's pretty close to how I eat my asparagus. My family loves it. David, cast iron skillet, olive oil, get it just turning a little black in places. Then I just do salt and pepper and easy peasy. Yes. It doesn't take much to make good asparagus, does it?
No, sounds fine. That's a really good way. The main thing to know about asparagus is, and I'm really liking to hear all these stories about people picking wild asparagus and knowing where to get it, because that is really the best. But the main thing to know is that asparagus really is a seasonal vegetable, and it's best to eat it right now when it's in season, because in the wintertime, it just doesn't have the same appeal, and it's coming from a long way off. So, but cast iron skillet, good way to go.
Thanks again for that call. Before we get back to our callers, David, I should ask about the asparagus snap. You know, I used to cut it, and then I heard, no, you break it, and it'll break in the right place. But there's a little bit of a technique here. How do we snap it so we get off the woody stuff and keep the good stuff?
Yes, well, you just have to, you need to use two hands. And you want to make sure that you're down toward the tough end and snap just at the spot where the tender part meets the tough part, because if you just sort of casually snap it, it might snap too high up on the stem and you'll lose some stuff. But if you don't feel like snapping, there's no harm in using a knife to cut off the ends. It's just you may end up with a little piece of tough asparagus at the bottom of the stalk. No big deal.
Let's go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Bob is with us now in Sun Prairie. Bob, hi.
Hey, I just heard you talking about doing asparagus on the grill. And I get my asparagus actually from a truck garden out by Oregon. And when I want to put it on the grill, I found something that works really nice is one of these carbon fiber grill mats. It's just a thin piece of material that sort of resembles screening, but it's you can lay that on your grill and put your olive oil and your seasoning on there and cook whatever vegetables, not only asparagus, but it's really a handy way to cook a lot of vegetables on a grill and not have to worry about them falling through the grates.
Oh, thanks. That is a great idea, because that's a sad moment when you lose some of that asparagus. You know, you watch it burn up in the charcoal. Have you worked with a mat like that, David, on the grill?
Yeah, it's a good way to go. It's a good thing to do.
Fantastic. Thanks for that suggestion. We've got an email question from Grant who asks, has the guest ever made asparagus pesto? And what advice or recipes, if so, do you have? So asparagus pesto, is that a thing, David?
I think it may be a thing. but it's not a thing in my repertoire, I have to say.
My concern would be, I mean, it might be so covered up by all the other flavors in the pesto. Would you even remember that it was asparagus by the time you were done with it?
No, I think it actually sounds quite good. I think you'd have to be very careful to cook the asparagus quite briefly and keep it bright green. Then you could go with the usual pesto ingredients, a little parmesan, a little garlic, a little olive oil, and pine nuts or walnuts or no nuts.
Thanks for that, Grant. We'll go now to Dan on the line in Blue River. Dan, hello.
Yes, I wanted to mention a rather unusual situation. I was burning a prairie near an old garden where there was an asparagus patch. And after I was all done, I walked through and I saw about 6 or 8 inch spears of cooked asparagus out of the ground, which I ate, and they were wonderful.
Right on the spot?
Just didn't have any butter with me, but...
That sounds great. It's going to be a little hard to replicate in your average home kitchen, Dan, but that sounds fantastic. I love it. Well, before I go back to our callers, David, I want to check out another recipe that was up on the New York Times website. Let's look at the stir-fried spicy asparagus. Asparagus great in a stir fry. Actually, my wife did a stir fry the other day with some asparagus in it. I had it for lunch today. What's this one looking like?
Well, the thing of it is that a lot of people think that asparagus is so delicate that you really oughtn't to mess with it, not add any strong flavors. But in fact, it can really stand up to a spicy sauce quite well, and it's kind of nice to have that combination of the sweet asparagus and the spicy sauce. This particular one is basically, fresh hot chilies, garlic and ginger, and finished with a little cilantro. But it's a really, and of course it's a fast hot stir fry. So in that wonderful way that the Chinese treatment of vegetables can be, very fresh tasting, very bright, very green.
Talking to David Tanis, he writes for the New York Times. He is a chef and cookbook author. It's Food Friday, and we're cooking today with asparagus. Back to your calls now. Donald is with us in Iron River. Donald, hi.
Yes, I would like to freeze some asparagus for my garden. And do I blanch it first or throw it right in the bag? And if I blanch it, do I use salt in the water?
Ooh, freezing asparagus. Any advice, David?
Oh, I think you would blanch it. I don't have much experience with freezing asparagus. I think you should just cook it and eat it is what I would like to do. But I would say cook it on the very, very firm side. And cool it in ice water, and then blot it quite dry before you freeze it.
And Donald, if you're dealing with an overabundance of asparagus, just drop it off at our studio, and we'll make quick work of it, I think. One more caller I think we have time for, Jan in Wayside. Jan, hi.
Hi.
What do you want to tell us about?
Well, you guys are talking about the wild asparagus, looking for it in ditch lines. I don't believe I heard anybody mention, you have to look for last year's stalks that grow up tall. I think they go to seed.
Yes,
and they're just like dead, they're just like dead brown vegetation. Like the ditch is always full of dead grass. But if you kind of learn to look for, they're kind of real fine, wispy, brown, dead vegetation And if you find those and look down below, you'll find the fresh shoots growing out of the ground.
Fantastic. A good warning sign, Jan. Thanks a lot for that tip. Well, David, I got to ask. Now, I love asparagus best when it's fresh. But my motto in the winter is, okay, asparagus is better than no asparagus. So in the off season, do you have a suggestion for the way to cook that asparagus? You know, that's not at peak, but it's looking okay at the store. Come on.
I have to tell you, I never do. But if you must, I think maybe roasting is a good way to go. Dressed with olive oil, salt and pepper, and tossed in on a sheet pan in the oven at a high temperature, and you get something approximating grilled asparagus, and it's pretty good.
And then, as a counterpoint, David, in our last minute or so, is part of the fun of a vegetable like asparagus the fact that it's so seasonal and that it's something we can anticipate, look forward to?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it means the season has changed. I mean, it's like if you it's something to celebrate, and that's part of the nice thing about it. It's only available really for a few short weeks, and then there's next year to look forward to.
Well, David, it's been a lot of fun. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. A pleasure.
That's chef and cookbook author David Tanis. He writes a regular food column at the New York Times. He has a virtual guide on their food website, How to Cook Asparagus. You can find links to the recipes we talked about on WPR.org, where those New York Times cooking pages apparently will be free to access for a short period of time.